nothing else.
Okay. Okay.
He's coming to them because he's fresh out of his AFC. But next to me is sitting Dr. Annelie Lotrick. She is an MP and works in arts and culture. But she was also a member of the PANSEL until quite recently and is therefore a language expert. And with your permission, I invited her to come along today.
No, she's welcome. Probably she can tell us what happened to the Paris Salwa translation. The Honourable Master, there's a proposal of the agenda, of which is a report back on Bakiri's Limpopo, 6-8, and adoption of the minutes. Is there any person who wants to propose an amendment or the agenda? Anybody want to make an amendment or any adoption of the agenda proposal?
I propose adoption.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Any supporter? So, Siva and Ezra. Thank you. Any apologies? Oh, we've got apologies. Advocate Olomisa, my co-chair. He was overseas. I just spoke to him now. He just landed in Johannesburg, back from my daughter. And then we've got Advocate Masuta has apologized. Ms. Ajayk has apologized. And the Prince Zulu have apologized.
Yes.
And thank you. And Honorable Ainsley would like to leave earlier.
I've been called by our Deputy Chief Whip, and I think when you're called by, in any party, by your Chief Whip, you run, you go. So I've been called down there at 2, if you don't mind.
Okay, we'll release you by 5 to 2 if you are not done. I hope we'll be done by then.
And forgive me, just in my case, Justice starts sitting at 2 o'clock with the Minister, so I will have to run at 2.
Can you be busy like so that we are done by then? Okay, agenda is now adopted. Honourable members, I think you have got the briefing on the visit to Limpopo, the 2 public hearings, or the latest public hearings to Limpopo. Has anybody got that report or draft report? I wonder how many people have gone through it. Have anybody gone through that report? Basically, the report says that we've been to Limpopo for the second leg of the hearings, to those 3 different places. And then the hearings were well attended, and this time we had professors who make presentations, there were counselors, there were teachers, and then the community in general, they make presentations. Still in the 3 provinces, in the 3 regions and the 3 venues that we attended, basically, most people they were saying Sesotho Salwa should be the language. That there were a few that they were saying Sepedi should be the language. Yeah. And then we said to the community there that we are going to come back to Parliament, and the committee will deliberate on these issues. That on their presentations and their submissions, there were a couple of written submissions as well. And then he probably will have to invite some stakeholders to Parliament because what they did there, they were basically presentations. You didn't have time to interrogate them, so to speak. So we'd like to have all stakeholders to come to Parliament so that you can properly interrogate them, and then the committee will thereafter perhaps take a decision on whether we propose that the constitution should be changed from Sepedi to Sesotho Salwa, or vice versa, or whatever decision you are going to take. Basically, that's what the report, that small report says, in summary. Okay. Is there any comment or proposal on the report? Smith.
Just to say that we read as much as we could, and it does seem sensible to take consultation further, certainly with stakeholders, and it would be good if in time they could be invited to Parliament. I think also that the idea of consultation with our colleagues in arts and culture is a good one. We cannot rush this matter. It deals with issues that go too deep. They are very important. They go to the nature of our identity as South Africans, but people who also have diverse cultures and languages. May I just ask you, one point I think that you didn't mention now in your summary was something pointed to in the document of 9th Feb, that there might be a need for further independent and qualitative research. Are you taking that idea on board or not? Because I know Dr. Lotriet would want to say something on that, if you would put it on the list.
Definitely we take that idea on board, because as you just said, it's a very deep issue and it might be divisive actually in that communities. That's why you need to be very careful on dealing with the issue.
I was just going to find out, Chair, whether when inviting the stakeholders, we'll invite them before, because there is in the report it says the committee is looking at extending the public hearings to other areas that could be affected by the issue. Are we going to invite them before, invite the stakeholders before or thinking of extending public hearings, or will just invite thereafter then try and attend the other public hearings, other areas that have been affected?
Yeah, I think we will invite them to come, really. But as if there might be a need for public hearings, of which I doubt, then we might have to go there. But I doubt if there'll be a need for other public hearings, because I think we've tried to cover as much as we could. However, that's why we leave it open, really, not to try to constrict ourselves.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would say that I read through all the documents, and the sense that I got was that I think if you do have additional public hearings, you will have more of the same in terms of presentations, because it is quite clear that people speak from their own perspective, their own experience, their own language, and I also found that in the type of research that was done, it was to a large extent, in some instances, perhaps compromised because the speakers of the languages actually did the research, so there is a bias there. So I would strongly propose that you consider the issue of independent additional research by language sociologists, and that they really be independent and not part of any of the universities where these languages are actually offered, but that it is someone who would look with an open eye into the real issues of regional representativity, the actual linguistics of the language, the history of the languages, because you also find in the documents different histories of the different languages. So I propose that would be the first option, to really do a proper research, language sociologists doing it.
Thank you. I think that's if you were also thinking we should be taking before we could take any decision. Any other comment on this issue?
No.
Can I press propose for the adoption of this? No, it's not the complete report, but the adoption of this report so far. Any moving? Honorable Koronov. Dr. Koronov is not doctor. No. Honorable Koronov moves. Any second? Professor. Dr. Bloom seconding. Thank you. Okay, honorable members, can we move over to the second issue of the minutes of the March, we discussed our submissions, there were a couple of submissions that we get disposed of in that meeting.
Chair, I'm sorry I didn't make use of what I think was the opportunity to comment when these were first circulated electronically. But there are, and you are referring to that heading, aren't you, the 2009 submissions. I think there are a few where our deliberations are not, in fact, correctly reflected, and I'm just worried that whether I can remember them sufficiently clearly. If you'd like me to point to just the first two, for example, on the matter of inclusion of animal rights in the Constitution, it was felt not that the existing legislation that guarantees was sufficient. I think the point was quite simply that this is a matter appropriately dealt with by legislation rather than constitutional amendment. So I think that was what we discussed and I think agreed. And therefore one should just rephrase that to say something like it was felt that legislation was the appropriate remedy. And that it was therefore unnecessary to consider any, it's not policy changes, but any constitutional changes. Therefore, not legislation is the appropriate remedy. Or remedy is not the right word. What am I looking for? This matter should be addressed through legislation, and it is not appropriate to amend the Constitution. That's it, really. The second one, the removal of all references to God in the Constitution, I think... two things are being conflated here. It was the submission of Mr. McLeod, yes, you agree, that wanted the removal, and the second sentence here deals with Mr. Jerome Feltman's submission. So that is simply not correct. And our decision on Mr. McLeod's surely drew upon the legal opinion from Advocate Jenkins, we said quite simply that the Constitution is clearly secular, and those very few references that there are in the preamble and elsewhere have a different sort of a function. And also his second point was on Ubuntu, where in fact Advocate Jenkins made the point that in fact Ubuntu suffuses the entire Constitution. So we did agree to turn down Mr. McLeod's proposal, and that perhaps is what is important to minute. And there must just, I think, be a better formulation for that. We should obviously delete the second sentence. And why don't we refer to Mr. McLeod by name? The removal of references to God in the Constitution and the inclusion of Ubuntu as proposed by Mr. McLeod. And the committee accepted legal opinion that, and then why don't we just extract from Advocate Jenkins' opinion the relevant lines. There's a little paragraph somewhere which we could appropriately use. And if you're not happy that we may be doing this too fast, we could bring it back for approval of the minutes. In fact, you could look at Advocate Jenkins' paragraph 13. It is clear that the Constitution is founded on equality and is the supreme law. As such, there is no confusion or conflation with God's law. And on Ubuntu... It is not feasible to amend the Constitution. That's the animals. The suffusion of Ubuntu is in... It is clear that fundamental rights are already infused with the precepts of Ubuntu, paragraph 16 of Advocate Jenkins. So if members are happy with quoting paragraph 13 and 16, I think that is a sufficiently a reflection of the reasons why we decided not to accept Mr. McLeod's submission. In fact, there's also 18. He also wanted animals, and here the recommendation was it's not feasible to amend the Constitution to provide for the protection of animals. Perhaps we should have that drafted up before we approve them.
Okay, agreed. We'll have the redrafted. Any other issue on the minute?
The others, on a really fast reading, I thought... read or write, as long as it's understood that we are going back to Feltman.
Okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let members go and read it properly, and then when I talk, then we'll do those corrections.
Yeah. Let me point to one other, the third last bullet point. Amendments of section 1683 and 172. Just the very last sentence there should be changed. The committee proposed that the submitter should be advised to refer the thing to justice. as well as follow up on progress in the consideration of the Superior Court's bill. I think that's not right. We should also advise the submitters of impending amendments to the Constitution and the Superior Courts Act. We should advise them of that and suggest to them that they make their submission when those two bills serve before justice. That was the intention.
Okay. Any other issue on the minutes? Obviously, we'll take matters arising, I think, when we adopt the minutes. Okay, members, we wanted to get rid of these administrative issues for out of the way. One more issue before we close is the proposed meeting of schedules. We're proposing that we sit on the 7th of May. There are actually four submissions that are left. The Feldman submission, Dr. Jenkins, the Mutsukupeku and Sikwele submissions, and the Idasa submissions that are left. We still have to go through those. We are proposing that we deal with those submissions on the 7th and the 21st of May. And then on the 29th of May, we intend to invite those stakeholders from Limpopo and can make presentations. So our appeal is that if committee members could be all be present, because on the 21st and the 29th, it will go on Fridays. And knowing that Fridays are actually very problematic when meetings are supposed to sit, we'll try to be as economic as possible with time so that at least we sit for 3 hours and see what can we do in those 3 hours. But we appeal to members if they can present themselves, more especially when we'll be inviting people from outside. Honourable Chair. Of course, we will do. Yeah. Oh. Honourable Didier.
Chairperson, if fine for Fridays, can we then start 9 o'clock, a bit earlier? Not to rush.
Yes, we usually start at 9. Yeah, let's start at 9. Or you can start at half past 8 if you agree. 8:30? Not.
No, half past 8 is not right.
Okay, let's make it 9. You start at 9.
I think 3 hours will be enough if we start at 9 up to 12.
Up to 12.
Yes.
We'll try to be as economic as possible. Okay. Just an update on the Venice trip. We are still waiting for Honorable Ambrosini to report back, but we received one reply from one of the embassies. They need to know how much it's going to cost, and we've advised them that we'll be taking 10 members, so that we need them to fund for other 10 members, and another 5. The parliament will pay for 5 and staff. We need them to pay for other 5 members. So we drafted that letter. It will be sent today or tomorrow, and then we'll hear from there. Otherwise, there is some progress so far. Okay, in the absence of any other issue, any member would want to say any other thing?
No.
In the absence of that, thank you for coming, and the meeting stays adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm okay, Mamusa. No, I
I'm sorry, and I'm in now. Maybe I'll send you a little email. Shall I do that? And I meant to before, but I got to it too late.
Well, let's come up and